That's right. The drive is live. I almost thought about taking that from you, that station identification. I was thinking about jumping in and snagging, just taking that from Reggie, but I didn't. I didn't do it.
I appreciate
it. I thought about it because I was timing it. I heard you getting into it, and I was about to try to jump in and take that thing. But
I'd have thrown a flag on you.
I know it. But hey, the drive is live, and no, it is not Texans Ticket Tuesday, as someone just texted in, or whatever I said last week. They are in New York, so it is not. It is a Texans Ticket. Yeah, it's not that. It's next week.
That's going to be one of my favorite moments for a long time.
Week. All right. There's a lot to get to, guys. And the big story of the day, if you were not listening to In the Loop, D'Amico Ryans gave that news that I think many Texans fans were hoping it wasn't going to be the case. I know some people, hell, I talked to Tyler yesterday saying, well, you know, he walked off pretty well. He gave up the little deuce sign to the crowd. Now, he walked his ass directly. He didn't get up and go to the blue tent. Didn't get up to go to a bench. He took it right to the locker room. Mm. And I don't believe we've seen him since.
No, God!
But you know, he walked. I've seen ACLs where people aren't able to walk off.
That was me.
There was hope, yeah. Shee Rice, well, he actually technically didn't tear his ACL, but a lot of things. But he had to be carted off. No, that was not the case. Here was D'Amico Ryans earlier today dropping that very difficult news about Stephon Diggs.
It's a start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurt. Hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team, and it's everything that he bought, not only on the field, but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but, you know, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
All right, Clint, Tyler, the people out here, you can join in with your conversation. We always welcome them. Shout out to Chris. What's up, Toby? What's up, Mike? What's up, Brandon? What's up, Guy Gene? Everybody there on YouTube and Twitch. We enjoy the conversation. I'm sure Champ Slice is rolling through soon. But Clint, I'm gonna rip away any of the foreplay, any of the pleasantries. I'm not gonna let you put your hand on the leg or any of that.
That's what the men's clinical do.
Yeah, I'm going right in. I want you to get them pants off and let's get right into this thing.
Some of my best work has been done.
I know it. All right, we know he is out for the year. We know Stephon Diggs is done for the year, as we just heard from D'Amico Ryan. We believe, and not believe, they will get Nico Collins back. He's got the Jets game and the Lions game that he has to sit back. He'll be eligible to come back against the Cowboys on Monday night. So there's a thought he will be back. And we know right now they have Nico, who will be back, Tank, Xavier Hutchinson, who has given some moments, Big Woods, who has given some moments, had a nice catch earlier, had a nice catch, big third down conversion in the game. And then John Metchie had a nice catch on a scramble drill from C.J. Stroud. With that being said, as I rattled off all of those, if you want to include the tight ends, you want to include Dalton Schultz, Stover, if you want to include Joe Mixon in the passing game, whatever, when you look at that in the passing game, do the Texans have enough, in your opinion, especially wherever you want them to go, wherever you think and your expectation for them to go, do the Texans have enough? Or does Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and the McNairs need to sign off on something to make a move? Do they got enough, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think they got enough.
Really?
I do. I think they got enough. I mean, you've got arguably the best, at least the most productive wide receiver in football coming back. I think he's got one more week.
Does he have one more?
Yeah, he's missed three games already, so this week would be four. He'd be eligible to come back. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come back, but he'd be eligible to come back.
Well, good. Well,
leading into the Lions game. Now, right. but with that bad hamstring, though, Ron, we all know that hamstrings, it could be significantly longer. I have no idea, but eligible next week. So you got him coming back at some point in the near future. And thank the Lord, you built a 6-2 record here. You got a little bit of a cushion in the division, so it's not dire right this second as it pertains to getting Nico back. But you got the most productive wide receiver in football over the first 5 weeks of the season coming back. And now, with that said, you're going to have to get what you expected to get out of Dalton Schultz when you decided to pay him $12 million a year for the next three. You've got to get what we've seen out of Tank Dell, at least something similar to what he did last year, in a sense of being that explosive and being able to separate that way. I think there is in a certain way Robert Woods could bring to the table some of the very similar things that Diggs was bringing to the table in terms of being that possession over the middle of the field veteran, I do everything type wide receiver. Robert Woods could be your poor man's Diggs if you want to. Basically, what we've seen here from Diggs anyway. So yeah, I don't know. I don't watch the Texans and haven't watched the Texans all year long and thought, boy, without Diggs, this team is in trouble. And so I don't, it's unfortunate, but I don't, to be completely honest, I don't feel like that. I don't feel that right now either.
Do you think they have enough? Yes. The New England game, I forgot about. I forgot that was just.
That's the one I couldn't think of either at first.
Terrible. I forgot about the New England game. But yes, he's eligible to come back after this week. Do you think they have enough? And I'll be honest with you, coming up in the next segment, this feels like one of those days, Clint Tyler, we need to hear from the people. So I want to hear from the people a little bit as well. So we'll open up the phone lines for you in the next segment. But Clint, if they are trying to get, because listen, wherever you felt like the Texans could go, if you felt like the Texans could go to the Super Bowl, I think that's a little rich for my blood, but I think it's you're not crazy. If you think the Texans could go a step further than they did last year and maybe win multiple playoff games and get to an AFC championship game, if you thought they were just going to make the playoffs, whatever. I think those things are still on the table. I don't think necessarily Stephon Diggs going down changes that, as long as you do something to combat that, in my opinion. And I think I just go the other way from you, and I see some other people texting in. I do not think they have enough. I think they have to go and get somebody, at the very least a third receiver, because at least a number three type receiver. It'd be nice if they had a Noah Brown who caught that touchdown pass for Washington this week. Like a guy, they've got to at least get a guy. Because see, last year they had a guy like that. And my reasonings for that is, Nico has been great. Nico stay hurt. Like, I mean, he's hurt right now. The odds are that he may miss some more time that could be there. I hope not.
We don't like that.
Tank, we know his frame. He's already missed a game this year. He missed a lot and finished the year on IR last year. That's a guy that has a bit of an injury history. Robert Woods, he's missed. What he missed? Two or three.
Yeah.
Right? If you're depending on him to be your third, right? And still, like, that's a little dicey when we're not talking about surprising teams like last year. You're talking about, like, we're gonna beat the Ravens. We're going to beat the Chiefs. We're going to beat the Bills again. Like, I think they've got to add something. I there ain't nothing. Clint, you convinced me. There ain't nothing in my mind that makes me believe I should be trusting Dalton Schultz. There ain't nothing in my mind that makes me think that John Metchie is going to be a guy that spins it around. There ain't not, like, listen, hell, the guy I may trust the most is Woods. I think he'll be steady and be in the right place. And I don't know what kind of separation he's going to create, but I think he'll be in the right place. And Tank, like, I think Tank could be the guy that he was the first seven games of the season. But, like, Nico has been gone for, what, three games now? We haven't seen Tank just go off. And now Diggs is gone, and he was in a game by himself without Diggs, and he caught, what, four balls for 35 yards. So, to me, if you are trying to get to those, whatever your expectation was, it was still attainable. It's still attainable, but they just can't. They can't stand here because, Clint, as you know, all right, if we're going to throw the ball, now we got receivers. Now it feels like these guys may need a little bit more time to get open because they may not create as much separation as quickly as at other guys. So to me, I think they at the very least, D'Amico and Nick have to add at least a third level receiver. And damn it, Deontay Johnson was a guy that I
guys
that
are
I
coming thought, off the board, ain't
that
they?
I thought would fit. I know he's a little nuts, but I think he's a guy that I could see Deontay Johnson doing what Steph Diggs does here at a certain level. It's not a major drop off from him. And then the Baltimore Ravens, who desperately need a pass rusher in a corner, decided to go pick up a wide receiver. And I don't know if they did say, hell, we're gonna block him. We ain't gonna let him get here. So I think they got too many guys on here that you got to cross your fingers to trust right now. Hell, I think Nico and Joe Mixon are the two guys in the passing game where I'm like,
well, for me too, Ron, this just leans – there's a couple of things that I think could end up being positive. One, what I've been asking for, you're a run-first football team. I mean, at this point in time, that is the most convincing thing you've done. It's the most convincing thing they've done offensively all year long.
I just refuse to want to accept that, but
C.J. Stroud make a lot of people feel that way, Ron, because, I mean, he's nasty. But at the end of the day,
did not help.
Right? but the other thing is – is I think this really forced Bobby Slowick, Ron, some of his best work, in my opinion, was everybody's hurt but Nico.
Slowick losing it?
Find a way to get Nico the football. And we saw Nico line up in the backfield. We saw him catching screens. We saw him all over the place, right? Some of the best work he's done was, all right, now y'all through playing games with Tank Dell is not a starter. Now all of a sudden, Tank Dell is going to be a starter, and Tank Dell is making big-time plays in the game, right? I don't know. And look, it's way too early because we haven't seen it yet. And unfortunately, it's coming at the hands of injuries. But I don't know how well, like, offensively the Texans have dealt with having too many weapons. Like, I don't know that coming in, you got all these weapons. We're going to be more explosive. You got a different CJ. We're going to be more explosive. We're going to stretch the field. We're going to do this, do that. Now, all of a sudden, the same guys that could protect last year can't protect worth a damn. Your quarterback's getting beat up. Your offense can't get in a rhythm. I don't know that this offensive staff, Bobby Slowick, this offense as a whole, I don't know that they've dealt with having more firepower offensively in a positive way. I don't know that less firepower isn't a good thing for this football team. That's when we saw the best Nico. That's when we've seen the best Bobby Slowick and the best C.J. Stroud. That's when we've seen the best Dalton Schultz. That's when we've seen the best Tank Dell. Right, so I don't know that.
I'd argue the best Nico we've seen is this year, and they play with all the guys.
That's fair. He was leading the league. we're splitting hairs. I mean, like, literally, he would have been a 1,400 yard receiver last year. So it's like the moment when he was the only healthy wide receiver, when it was obvious what Bobby had to do. Bobby did it, and Nico welcomed it, and Nico thrived in that moment.
He did, especially against the Browns and the Colts.
Yeah, so I don't know that this team isn't wired better to have fewer options and like a true number three and a tight end that, you know what? We're gonna put a guy we just pulled off the practice squad and a rookie that's been a tight end for 2 years. We're gonna put those guys are gonna eat up about 20% of your reps moving forward because I don't know that these aren't all positives in the long run.
I hear you. I just like when you bring up the Nico point. Yes, when what was it? Noah Brown was injured. Robert Woods was injured. Obviously Tank was out, and he smashed the Browns and the Colts, and then he went up against Mike McDonald, and one of the great defensive minds in the NFL with the Ravens, and they said, okay, we're going to take him away.
He took everything away.
And then what are you like? We're in the passing game, we're going to take him away from you. And now what are you going to do? And that, to me, they were left with Dalton Schultz. They were left with John Metchie. They were left with Xavier Hutchinson. They were left with very similar what they have right now.
Yep.
But added Tank. To me, as I look at some folks, because I do want to get your thoughts, Tyler, because I don't know. I'll be honest. I woke up and I heard the news, and I was concerned about Tyler's well-being with this thing. Because last week was such a great week. Now he's got some weird game with South Carolina on the road that they're going to be crazy about playing that Ric Flair music before it starts, and now this stuff Woo! Is happening. So I do want to get your thoughts, but from some of the people here who have texted in, and I just said, do the Texans have enough? Do they have enough with the receivers they have, or do you think Dick and DeMeco need to go make a move? A lot of people are talking about, yes, they have enough. Don't need a receiver, need an offensive guard. Hell no, Texans are good. Them boys just need to be ready for them reps.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Fix the O-line. Yes, I agree with you, fixing the O-line. I just don't know how possible that is going to be. They will have Tank now, Ron. They'll be fine. Okay. All right. Just remember, I am basing this. You base this however you want it. My expectations with what they did this year was get a step further. Get to the AFC Championship game. And that means you would have to beat Buffalo or Kansas City or Baltimore to probably get there. When you look at the other teams to get to winning two games right now in the AFC playoffs. And for me, when I think about those defenses and those coaches, I think they're a little short. I think they're a little short, especially how those teams can rush the passer. So the Deontay Johnson one, that one was tough. And at this point now, I don't even know what's at. What I know, Adam Thielen is probably one that's available that's been talked about.
Mike Williams, Adam Thielen. It'd be a hell of a deal. Diggs goes out. Thielen, his old running mate in Minnesota, comes in.
People are texting in Cooper Kupp. I don't think the Rams are trading Cooper Kupp. They're a half game out of first place. They looked like a completely different team when Puka and him were back in the game. So I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see. Someone texting in, stop with the Buffalo stuff. No. they had the worst game of the year, and I do think the Texans had something to do with it, but they have improved.
They have improved.
They did
it's
not.
It's hard to argue head to head, but boy, they have looked good, man. They've added Coop.
Yeah, they didn't have Ed Oliver in that game, their best defensive lineman. They didn't have Shakir. They didn't have their best receiver at that time, and they've added Amari Cooper. And I think there would be a different team coming. And you lost Stephon Diggs.
Von Miller either.
Yeah, he has played better. I thought his knees. I thought he was done. He did play a lot better before he came in. So to you, Buffalo is nothing. For me, I think Buffalo is in the thing. Their quarterback went 9 for 30, and you had to kick a 59-yard field goal to beat them at home. So I think they are potentially a potential problem. So I do want to do this. 713-572-4610. As Tyler will get you set up. I want to hear from the people because I think today is as much about you all or anything we need to hear from you. Stephon Diggs, torn ACL, out for the year. We talked about the receivers they have. Nico will eventually get back. Tank, Hutchinson, Woods, Mechie, do they have enough? Do you think they have enough, or do you think they need to go and make a move to add to their receiving room? We'll discuss that and hear from you coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the news of the day, Stephon Diggs. We wondered if this was going to be the case, and it is, coming from DeMeco Ryans earlier today. He tore his ACL.
Oh, no.
And is going to be out for the year. CJ Stroud commented on it as well. We'll let you hear that a little bit later on in the show. As I said, today feels like a day that we need to hear from you, and not just via the 5-hour energy fan line, text line. Also your voice on the phone here, 713-572-4610. Tyler will get you in. Real quick, Tyler, before we get to the people, Clint said he feels like they have enough. To me, I feel like they need to add a receiver here. Tyler, you think the Texans have enough with the Diggs injury?
When healthy, I do.
Okay.
When healthy. That's a big when and if.
When healthy. No, that's a big one. Yeah. All right. As I see some people coming in, all the hoopla for Diggs, and we just get 8 games out of him. Certainly, he didn't do that on purpose, folks. I think he's
and I think he contributed a bit to the wins he got. So.
And by the way, hey, I hope my man is in a good headspace because this was a critical year. He had gotten everything down to where this was a 1-year deal, and he was going to be a free agent. He wanted he got one more real big bite at the apple, and you know what? 8 games in, he tears his ACL in a big season. So hopefully, Stephon Diggs is headspace is in a good spot, and the people around him checking him out. All right, let's go to our girl Tony. It's been a while, Tony. Good to hear from you, and
Tony.
There you go, Tony. You think they got enough, or do you think Nick and D'Amico need to go add something?
No, I think we got enough. I think we have enough, and that's why we have all those people. Please utilize them, and you know, and not let them be bench riders. But this is the question that I have: how in this day and time, in modern medicine, that a torn ACL has you out for the season? Remember, JJ came back with the pec. I'm just not understanding. In modern medicine, please, doctors, please call in and please tell me why that you have to be out for a season.
I appreciate that, Tony trying to speed up these knees.
Oh, my God. Hey, this Tony, don't make no sense.
If you figure that one out, let us know, man. We'll all never work again.
I will say that
I love you, Tony.
I had to get my gallbladder removed a couple weeks ago. They said that the new surgery they do takes the recovery time 2 weeks off. Took me about a day and a half to recover. I just don't think they found that for ACLs.
I'm still recovering from my ACL, unless, and that was 5 years ago.
Unless you're Jerry Rice and you're some sort of a psychopath, who again, Jerry Rice tore his ACL in the first game of the season. It came back in the same season. Only person that I know to have done it. Yeah, they ain't speeding that puppy up. They ain't speeding that puppy up. All right, Joe, jump in with your thoughts. You think the Texans have enough? Joe.
Yo.
Man.
Yeah, no, man. I don't think they have enough, man. I think they need to go out there and get somebody else because right now with the receivers we have, man, they haven't been doing nothing. They can't get open. So I think we do need to add somebody in there, you know, to go and do see what they can do.
I appreciate the call, Joe. And Clint, with that, it's a thought of like, why aren't they getting open? Is it, or at least to the point of why aren't they as productive? And I think you can add a bit to the offensive line, and you know they just don't have as much time as we see the pressure rates on CJ Stroud as one or what have you. But I think there is something fair outside of Nico, and I think Stephon Diggs. Those two guys were getting consistently open more than anybody else on the team. And if you take one away, and in this case coming up, you know, on Thursday, you take both of them away, the wonder is, are they going to improve the rest of the way finding space and getting separation?
Well, I mean, obviously you're not going to be the team that you were with those guys. Damn sure not this week. I mean, you're down to, I mean, Tank's got to be your one and Hutch got to be your two and Woods has got to be your three. I mean, that's where you're at. Again, you're going to one more reason why this team should just lean into the run game and be that defensive team and try to shorten the game and limit the mistakes. And through that, you create some throw in the ocean opportunities for CJ Stroud. You protect your offensive line. You know, that's ideally that's the approach anyway. So, yeah. And look, when they get here's the deal is until they get Nico Collins back, it's going to be a real struggle. I mean, it's going to be a real struggle. But once you get Nico Collins back and Tank can be a two and Hutch or Woods can be a three, and then Dalton Schultz, big part of this is Dalton Schultz has to start playing football. Dalton Schultz has to be a guy that doesn't come off the damn field.
Well.
It's just
playing football.
Like this whole, it's like I'm just so frustrated with him. Where I'm glad to see Stover and Toriano getting run, but at the end of the day, either Stover's got to become more of a threat, or they're gonna have to get back to playing Dalton Schultz more, and I don't know how they do that. I don't know what all that looks like, but. When they get Nico Collins back, and you're talking about Nico 1, Tank 2, Hutch or Wood 3, I think they've got enough. Now, Until then, until Nico comes back, look out now.
Yeah. All right, Melissa. Is this the Melissa? I think it is. Melissa, your thoughts. You think they got enough with the loss of Stephon Diggs, or they need to go out and make a move?
Hey, guys. I mean, like what Clint said and what Tyler said, I think when healthy, I think we have enough. I think if we clean up some of the offensive line struggles and fix those and give CJ just a little more pass protection, like a little bit more, CJ can get it to anyone if he has enough time. Not to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick loses key receivers every year, and he finds the way to win. He wills his team to victory. So CJ can step up if he wants to separate himself from the rest and be like a Patrick, which we all want him to be. You know, he has to find a way to will his team to win. And with the guys we have now, they'll just need to step up. And with Collins hopefully coming up soon, I think we'll be okay.
All right, Melissa, I appreciate it. I don't want to put that on him.
Hey, old Kermit the Frog here.
That's the bar. I mean, I thought you phrased it well. Like that's hot water you tiptoeing in when you start talking about Pat Mahomes. But I thought that's a fact. I mean, that's the truth of the matter is you watch guys like Pat and really Pat. I mean, let's be honest, we hadn't seen too many other people even have that level of success. But you watch him doing it with Juju Smith-Schuster, not once but twice. Hell, he came. They brought him back, right? Yeah. I mean, you see him doing it with Kadarius Toney. You see him do like there's.
And even they went out and got Hopkins.
Yeah, and even they went out. Now, look, they went out and got Hopkins. Even they drafted Worthy. I mean, they made some moves. So, I think that's a good point. That's ultimately who everybody's shooting at from a quarterback perspective right now. Everybody wants to be mentioned in the same sentence with Pat Mahomes, and it's one thing to want it, but it's another thing to be presented with the opportunity to actually earn being in that conversation in that let's say. In that particular conversation about doing more with less for a season, the opportunity is going to present itself to CJ Stroud. That's for damn sure.
You've said it before, man. I know we got to get out of here, man. 20 something games he's played, you know, year and a half in the league to throw. Hey, man, struggles with the offensive line and how to deal with pressure and, you know, a receiving core that's not, you know, like that's. You know, and this early into it, I mean, we talk about Mahomes. This is Mahomes' eighth year in the league, and he's kind of dealt with it. So, I don't know, to put that on him right now, I think if you have the ability to go get him some help, you want to go get him some help. All right, it was a rough one for the Colts in the game on Sunday against the Texans, especially offensively and especially for Anthony Richardson. Well, it got even rougher as news has come out about him. We'll share that with you and give our thoughts because, the wonder is, have they given up on him or is this just a little punishment? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to Sean Bajani, who's rocking and rolling after us. Area 45. Sean's out here, got some Chinese food, banging out the chopsticks.
Oh, wow.
I gotta be honest. Don't know how to use chopsticks.
I do not either.
Good. You go with a fork, too?
Yeah.
Good for you. I said it to Clint. Clint,
you guys, when y'all go eat like regular sushi, y'all don't mess the fork with the
I don't eat sushi anymore. That has been ruined for the rest of my entire life.
Bang out the
fork,
baby.
That's bad stuff, huh?
Yeah, I bang out the fork, baby.
You just don't even go with the chopsticks. Like, you don't even try?
I have tried, you know, and then I just, you know, kind of like the bike thing. I just knew that just wasn't my calling. And
it's a little different.
And the Lord made forks, so... Just banged out the force.
You got a lot of quit in you, man.
Not a lot of quit.
I saw you riding the bike. That is not. I can't. Is not part of that issue.
Some things just aren't you, and it's not a quit. Sometimes you have to understand it.
The thing is, though, there is, as you just mentioned, there's a very, very great substitute in the place of a chopsticks, which would be a fork, a knife, a spoon. Riding a bike.
There's a great substitute. Your feet. Your cars. you got cars. you can skip. I mean, there's a lot of things. Hand walkers out there, you can do a lot of things.
Unicycle?
That's a great substitute. No, I don't know if I could do that either. Stilts? There's a lot of
pogo
things.
Pogo stick?
Yeah. Done that before?
I do. I feel like...
I just like the strength in my... I've tried. I cannot get it. And then that's what happens. I get good and pissed because I can't control it like I want to. And that fork is sitting right there and I just say to hell with it.
Yeah.
Stab it.
Let's
go.
There's just something about, man, good sushi joints, man. It's like that the chopsticks add a little something to the experience.
And I'm with you. Some places I do feel a lot of judgment coming from the people that give me the fork.
I would judge you.
Like the visual judgment that they give with
I would look across the room at the table. If you'd walk in and the black guy with blonde tips would really get my attention, I'd be like, let's see how this fella does it.
Look
at this guy over here, man. He went straight fork immediately. Didn't even try. A lot of quitting that old boy over here.
And Courtney just buys them. She has a bunch of them at the
chopsticks?
House. Oh, yeah. I'm certain Nicholas tries.
She's trying to tell you something.
I think Nicholas tries.
Nicholas is going to bust out a chopstick.
You know what? She gets pissed off at me, Tyler, because I use them to stir drinks. Stop stirring! Stop stirring your drinks.
That's a great call.
That's a great use of it.
Right there. That's good.
Mix me up a drink, stir them up.
Yes.
That's close.
Good, great call.
That's the best thing I do.
Thanks for ordering these, babe.
Stir that up in there. All right. We talked about the Stephon Diggs news. There's a lot of news. We talked about the Stephon Diggs news. And then if there's a thought maybe in free agency, before the trade deadline to go after a replacement, Deontay Johnson is off the table because the Ravens have traded for him. But also, Clint, big news today, this coming from ESPN and Jeremy Fowler, the Indianapolis Colts, they're benching former first-round pick Anthony Richardson and turning to veteran Joe Flacco. Coaches met this morning and made the seismic organizational decision to change quarterbacks. Like, in your mind, is this a situation, because this is the second one in the class that this has happened with Bryce Young, they made the decision to make the change. It feels like to me, new coach, the coach that came in didn't bring in Bryce. You could see that being the end, even though they gave up a whole lot to get him. You think this is the end with Shane Steichen, who we thought would be the perfect match to Anthony Richardson? You think this potentially may be the end for him in Indy?
No, this year, yes. I don't think it's...
You think he only starts again if Joe gets hurt?
Yes, this year. But I do think there's a chance that this could work. I mean, Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson are just too good of a combo schematically, and they're too good of a fit to not be better than what we've seen it be to date, right? I mean, in my opinion. But this is the situation that we're going to be in more times than not, when the thought in the league right now, and really nobody, the fans are this way too, but ultimately it's the owners. Like, owners expect for everybody to come in and be CJ Stroud. And the reality of it is it's not, it is rare as hell that it happens that way. And the reality of it is that for every CJ Stroud, you're going to have 10 different Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young types of Will Levis types of situations. It just you're forcing these guys on the field too early when they're not ready, and it's just too damn difficult for it to happen. And the once in a lifetime that it does happen, I know it's happened more times than that, but with CJ Stroud, the stars have just aligned perfectly. And that's a different animal in CJ Stroud than the rest of them. And so, one, that's the case. I mean, word on the street is that Shane Steichen, that Anthony Richardson was being forced on Shane Steichen by the general manager in Indy. That's the word on the street. And where I think this thing, he can say the coaches met, where I think this thing went south is Shane Steichen agreed to play Anthony Richardson. Okay, we're going to play Anthony Richardson. This is an organizational decision. We're going to move forward with this guy. And then Anthony Richardson goes out there, taps out of a game, loses all respect from his offensive lineman, from his teammates.
Admitted it after the game.
Damn sure on the offense, loses every bit of respect those guys had for him. They'll act like they still have it. He's young. He's this. He's that. I mean, that's soft as hot butter, man. That's soft as Laney's doo-doo. That is awful. And then you talk about changing the play, throwing the pick, giving away 7 points. If you're the head coach and you're sitting in that meeting with that general manager and you're like, you want me to keep playing this guy? Like, he clearly has zero awareness and is not ready to play right now. And you really want me to keep doing this for the organization and this kid? And I think it's blatant. When that stuff like that happens, it's blatantly obvious to that general manager and to ownership that this kid, at the very least, is not ready to play yet. And so I think this is an organizational decision to bench him, just like it was to stick with him and play him and not go with Joe Flacco. But I think Anthony Richardson did this to himself. Admitting all that in the post-game pressure is just...
You think that is the thing that hit him?
Well, I think his play has been... The play is bad enough, but the play was bad enough to be pulled at halftime in this game. If you were really trying to win this game and they didn't do it. I think what he admitting it in the press conference the way that he did, it all that did was give the organization all the justification that they needed publicly and internally to say, we're going to go to Joe Flacco.
And I wonder if leaders on that football team also voiced their
After that press conference, wouldn't surprise me one bit, which they knew as soon as he tapped his damn helmet. They knew what was going on. Hell, the commentators did. But, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. If everybody that was involved in that decision that was trying to support Anthony Richardson at this point, I'm sure, whether it's his play or his actions or his words in the press conference, they have plenty of reason to say, let's move on.
It might be this year. I can get with that. I don't think they can give up on him. I've heard a lot of today, like, hey, they're going to be in the business of drafting a quarterback or trying to find a new quarterback. And to me, listen, he's played 10 games in the NFL and what, seven in college, something like that. And yes, he is immature, and that move, I don't even know if he even understands. Maybe he does now, because I think that's probably a huge reason why he is getting benched. But that move there, I don't even know if he completely is mature enough to understand exactly what that meant overall until maybe today, and he's learning. But to me, it's just, I still, as I said yesterday, it is so crazy to me that when you watch the games, how bad it looks sometimes. But then you look up and it's like, damn, they're always in these games. And he always seems to make just enough plays. And it's just like, God, dog, like it's, they're there.
Yeah.
They're like.
He'll be a hard one to quit now. There's no doubt about that.
Like, we'll watch the Colts, and I think right now they'll be better with Joe Flacco. But you'll see, Joe Flacco is not going to see the same windows and have the same guys, I think, streaking down the field because of everybody's fearing him in the run game. And he creates so many opportunities that it is hard to just quit him after 10 games.
There's no question it's hard to quit him. There's no question about it. That's why I said this year. I would quit him this year, put him on the bench, let him know, hey, you're not going to play unless Joe gets hurt or it's an emergency situation, and we just need you to learn how to be a pro. We need to see you approach every game like you're starting. We need to see you getting mental reps every day at practice, every day and every Sunday in the game. We need you to soak up as much as you possibly can from Joe Flacco at this point in time, and you hit the reset button next year. That's what I would do. I mean, it's so bad right now that you can't.
Because it's different than Bryce. Like Bryce, there, I could see an argument that you don't know if Bryce physically can play in the game. Physically. Yeah. Like it's not about physically with him. I mean his accuracy, but it's not.
He can single handedly elevate a team if he learns the game and is mature and like his abilities. He can single handedly elevate a team. Bryce Young needs to be surrounded by a supporting cast. Bryce Young is not built or wired to navigate a rebuild and exist in a dysfunctional organization. Like Bryce Young needs Brock Purdy's journey. You know, Bryce Young needs, he at the very least needs CJ Stroud's journey where an organization is just in the midst of a rebuild for 2 years and trying to get things right, get the roster right, get everything right, and then you at least bring him in and give him a chance. Like he's not physically not a dude that's going to go in and carry a franchise and bring a franchise back from dysfunctional, worst team in the league type stuff.
He's Sam Darnold, this thing.
I mean, he's got to have a supporting cast. I mean, look at like Tua. I mean, he wasn't going to get a second contract. He was the laughing stock of the league. And then all of a sudden, you get a couple players. You get Mike McDaniel in there, and all of a sudden, the dude can play.
And then he get hurt. Now they can't play without him.
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's right. Might be a great destination for him, by the way.
All right. Yeah, could be. Somewhere to sit back and learn from Bryce. Yep. All right, coming up, it is so bad with the offensive line. I cannot believe I'm going to utter these words. So bad with the offensive line. But I got to be honest, and I think it is a real legit thing that potentially should be looked at. We'll discuss that coming up next.